Do you think I need to go and paint that yellow BR, bruv? Arms out to your mum's house. 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 75.
Alright, fuck that shit. Word, word. Fuck that other shit, you know what I'm saying? We gonna do a little something no, like this, you know what I'm saying? Stay up on this. Keep it on and on and on and on and. You know what I'm saying? Big Nas, Grand Wizard. What is it like? Ha.
30 years, man. Fuck. I rap for listeners, blunt heads, fly ladies, and prisoners, Hennessy holders, and old school niggas. Then I'll be dissing her. Unofficials that mold wooly tie. I dropped out of coolie hot, gas the vibe, cocaine, cutie pie, jungle survivor. Fuck who's the lava. My man put the battery in my back. A difference for managers. A sentence begins attempted. With formality, moderation's infinite. Money wise, a physiology. Poetry, that's a part of me. Retardedly, Bob. I dropped the ancient manifested hip hop. Straight off the block, I reminisce of park chance. My man was shot for a sheep coat. Chocolate blessing, make me see him dropping my weed smoke. It's real, grew up in trife life. The times of white lines, the high fives. Murderous night times, the night fights and bright crimes. Chill on the block with Carniaco strap. With my peeps that's in the drug money market interact. No sign of the beast and a blue Chrysler. I guess that means peace for niggas. No shice device to just snipe ya. Start off the dice, roll the match for crap to CeeLo. With side bets, a roll of dudes, nothing below. Peace, God. Peace, God. Now the shit is explained. Peace, I'm taking God. Niggas on a trip straight through memory lane. It's like that, y'all. It's like that, y'all.
That's the end of that. It's 30 Hello. Years old, but that's the end of that.
Episode 75 in your ass.
That's what it's like when you fuck a stranger in the ass.
Yo, big up Illmatic, 30 years. We're going to get in on that a little bit later on. We got graph critique. We got listeners' questions. We got fucking all sorts going Jesus on. It's my brother theme. How are
Jesus
you, man?
Right, we've got a lot going on. I've been doing nothing. I've been looking after utes, but you've been going out.
I've been out and about, bruv. I've been out. You know what I mean? No, I saw you the other day. Was it Thursday or Friday? I can't remember. But
I see, claro.
I remember you. I got a phone call from you saying, look, I'm down in Acton painting, you know, the legal spot. And I see you and Tox is coming down. And I was like, oh, shit, no way. All right, I'll come down, say hello. I left my mum's birthday party to come and see you guys. Yeah, that's how graph I am. That's how dedicated to graph I am. Man.
That's how dedicated.
But then, surprising, man, we had the Mandem in the house, man. Who else was there? Polio and Big Bass turned up, man.
Bass and Polio, man.
It was a pleasant surprise, man.
Yeah, boy. Polio was looking good because, you know, he was having issues before. He looks good now,
man. Is it? I didn't know, man. Yeah, he was looking great. I haven't seen that guy in ages, man. It was good to see him.
And Mr. Better Than Bass, Bastastic.
Yeah, okay. Man.
Didn't get a reach, though. Like, I'm not even getting a reach, bro. Do you know what I mean?
He said, like, I don't want to get paint on my garms, man. He was like...
You know what I mean?
They did us a couple of tags though, man. That was nice of them to do that. Mm. And they were giving us props on the comedy skits for the podcast and that. But yeah, that was a pleasant
surprise.
We
can't really talk what we were talking about.
Nah.
But it would have been good if we could talk about what.
Yeah, we had a really. When we left, I said, imagine we had a microphone there in the middle and we all had that conversation. That would have been the illest podcast.
That was like that London Star Wars type of shit. Like the sun was just going down. It was like dusk. Do you know what I mean? Like the beginning. It fucking looked, it was decent.
Yeah, man.
And the chat that was had, I was like, yo. Sensational.
Yeah,
sensational.
It was funny, that man. Maybe one day
in history.
Maybe one day we'll get them on, but you know, I sincerely doubt it, man. But let's see.
I don't know whether we can't talk about them.
Nah. Although I kind of, you said, should we critique what Tox painted? Yeah, I feel to critique it, man. That's it's hilarious. Obviously, Tox isn't like famously known for his piecing. You know what I mean? He's a bomber. He's an out and out, straight up and down bomber.
Devastator.
Even to his own volition, he says that. You know what I mean? And we were
all cities multiple times. You know
oh,
what I mean?
Mate. And what? Jesus I swear, Christ. yeah, like I swear one of them mentioned, they were like, you know, some people they go all city once, maybe twice, and then like, you know, 10 years down the line, they're forgotten.
It's exactly what Zombie said to me one time, you know.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It's exactly, but he said it years ago, years and years ago. Exactly. Yeah, sorry, finish what you're going to say.
No,
they go, once, they go all city once and then that's it, they're gone.
Yeah, and then some people, yeah,
they get nicked and then they shit their pants and that's it, boss. Or they just stop, or, you know what I mean, whatever.
Whatever it might
but
be.
Some people are doing graph, like, for, they're doing graph is like their actual life. Do you know what I mean?
It takes a dedication, a certain amount of dedication to go all city. And then to maintain it is a whole other fucking level thing. It's difficult, man. Especially in a city like London, you know what I mean? But yo, let's just quickly, I just want to quickly pull up that Tox piece they did. And I'm not laughing at him, obviously, like we're saying, we're bowing our heads.
I just want to say, Bass is the leading batterer of London Tubes for like a long time. And it's been like for a long time now.
Mate, you know what I mean? When
there's
it comes
a,
to
there's
doing
a lot
it.
Of people in Tubes, there's a lot of people doing panels. I know that, rare. But Bass is painting the best panels, like with the most, like the best pieces on them.
Consistently and with style.
With style.
Those are the two things.
Like blatantly his own unique ID that he's made, because he's like made that style. Everyone's seen him get better and better and better. But we're talking that when it comes to like absolutely body bagging, but still doing just London Underground.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's not interested in anything else, panels.
Yellow BRs, you know what I mean? Fucking walls.
Wouldn't even look at a yellow BR. If it was on fire, I wouldn't piss on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Battered it, but still to this day, just battering it in fucking yards every single look. That's why I was asking him all like those fucking bait questions, you know what I mean? Because I know he knows the answer. I'm like, yeah, but what about this? And he's just like,
Everything.
Everything.
Bro, when I turned up, there was some little kid there painting on the wall and you lot were cussing him or chatting about him. But I turned up as
G3.
It was
happening. I don't know what G3. Yeah.
I turned up while it was happening. What the fuck was that?
Wait, first of all, big up to G3, yeah, because there's like 4 or 5 man them painting down there.
Yeah.
And I see these two kids come over and then they allow it and then they walk off, yeah. And then he comes back like an hour later, something, quite a while later, this kid comes back on his J's.
Yeah.
And I'm painting, I'm talking at the time like this. I'm talking to the right, and this geezer comes to the left and he goes, yo, I want to paint. Give me some paint. No, I don't want to paint. What are you painting? What, like, how do you paint? What are you doing? Would you be painting? And he's like blatantly into like graph. I was like, he fucking calmed out. He's like, no, have you got any tins? I want to start painting. He doesn't know anything about graph. Yeah. And I thought, big up to him, because he obviously came over with his mate. And his mate was like, no, I don't want to master, mate. Do you know what I mean? It was like 4 or 5 men, do you know what I mean, painting in the corner. He's like, no, I don't want to do it. He boyed off. And then he came back in his jade. So I just want to know, well, how do you paint? What do you mean you paint your name? What are you doing? Paint your name. Really, paint your name. Let me paint something. And he starts doing this G3.
Okay, so you give him some paint.
He did it like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different times.
Yeah.
And G3, yeah. He'd rob loads of paint, and he kept on just like, oh yeah, let me just use that one. Oh, let me just use that one, like a chrome and a colour, whatever. You know what I mean?
Bareface, just nicking paint. Nicking paint off Tox and Bass on his first piece. It's crazy.
Anyway, it wasn't of them. Oh, and okay. I see he's like, right, I'm gonna go and look into that bush, yeah, like where he was painting. Just goes to this bush, he's like nicked all of our paint.
Yeah, he'd stashed it.
This geezer, who's like never done graph, yeah, comes in, yeah, gets his racks people's paint straight away. So he's like following the rules of graph, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got massive balls, this kid. He's a kid. You know what I mean? He's like in school uniform, like 16 or something.
Yeah.
Racks the paint from the older heads, stashes it in the bush where they're painting. Yeah. So when they go, when we go, he could just come out and dog us. And just do a million G3s.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And see who finds it and does a piss where he kept the cans and took the cans, brought them back. And we were like, fucking hell, G3. Like, G3 must be like the local gang, do you know what I mean? Like, the actual little street gang. It's like G3. Like you were doing like that, it's G3. Yeah. When you've got those kind of names, like it's G3, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Basically, there was like 3 G's. Yeah, there were brothers on the estate, and they started 3 G's. Right?
There were 3 G's. Yeah, like the 3 wise men, the 3 G's.
But wasn't Tox giving him a lesson? He was
so the geezer gets his fuck because Tox is on the end next to where this geezer decides to paint.
Yeah.
And he's just the geezer's just going to Tox, like, yo, how do I do that? What do I do? And he's like really like forthcoming, this kid. He's like, you know what I mean? He might be on the spectrum or something. He's like, yo, how do I do it? Well, he's like all semi-aggressive.
Yeah, he came up to me. He was like, give me a cigarette. Give me a cigarette. I'm like, nah, I ain't got.
Did he?
I was like, I ain't got a
cigarette. I love this you. So he's there. And he's like, how do I do this? And Tox is like, oh, you should try it like this. Do it like this. Yeah, do it like this. Me and Bass like, fucking hell, this geezer. This is his first day in graph. He's just started doing graph. He's come and racked all the paint, yeah? And then he's getting a lesson from fucking Tox.
Isn't it?
A fucking lesson in graph from fucking Tox.
A graffiti
on
workshop.
His first day!
Graffiti workshop
on
from
his
Tox.
First day! I went down the park, did some graph. Oh, yeah, who'd you do with, like, Barry and Trent? No, but I've done it with Tox. You're like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? First
he
day.
He did not realise what was going
didn't
on.
He could barely speak English, that kid.
Yeah. Oh, mate, that was giving me jokes, man. We were laughing about that.
Imagine getting your first lesson from
that
someone
kid,
like Tox.
He's
imagine
got a bright
any
future.
Question you had for him.
He's got a bright future, man.
It's so joke, man.
That's a great that's origin brilliant. Story for
someone. And he racked the paint. Now, imagine, he could go on Scheme. He could chat to Scheme.
Yeah.
Scheme's in like the rules of grab. He'd be like, yeah, well, I racked paint on my first fucking day, son. I'm painted all city top. You know, he's straight away posh.
You know what I mean?
He's in.
Let's take a quick look at this toxic piece that he did, man. Because obviously he doesn't piece that often. And he's like, you know, got... And he had racked paint.
He's done billions of pieces, bro.
I know he's done, but he's not...
Like this.
He's not well known for his, you know, piecing, basically. And everyone was kind of taking a piss out of him a little bit. Not taking a piss, but jokingly. And he's quite a self-deprecating kind of guy as well. So I'm sure he won't mind, man. But yeah, it's got like the red dots going through it with the crosshairs. Scheme, you know, with the yellow crosshairs.
Ask him if it was tartan.
That was it. I thought it was like a tartan fill. And he was like, I don't know, man. It's like a little dot thing I got across his. I was like, yeah.
That's and he missed some. Paint.
Yeah,
so
completely.
He rocks up, yeah. I've got a box of. I see you said he might not have paint. He's coming up from King's Cross. I said, I'll bring him a chrome Bosch. He had like a black Bosch. You know what I mean? Like Molotov covers or he can do a dubbing. Gets down. And I see he's bought him other paint as well. And he's like, no, I'm using this. Do you know what I mean? Straight away, Bosch puts a box on the table. And he looks at the paint and he's like, no, this is what we're doing, dubs. You still have to do a dub next to us. I'm not using that paint. Pulls out all these fucking cans, these boxes of just cans.
I saw that.
Of dog shit paint. It was some fucking shit paint. Ready mixed.
I didn't know the
like,
brand
to make
yet.
Colours in it, yeah. And they use it. That's what that beige
off,
is. That's what that beige is, bruv.
It fell off a lorry, innit? Fell off a lorry somewhere, probably. Look, the drips all down. Like, he doesn't give a fuck, this guy, man. it's got a certain charm to it, though. You know what I mean?
But I remember when it first came out, I remember being a bit fuming. Before he went, like, completely all city. When he would start getting, like, real, you're like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean, this... But then he started painting with the different heads. You're like, yo, they're bringing him in. And then
just the,
like
the
completely
audacity.
Battered.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then you start, and then I liked it. But when he was on the come up, I must have, I was like, yo, what's how's he painting with them, man? Like, what's he, like, what?
And I'll tell you what I'd like to see.
He destroyed it umpteen times.
And
now he's like King Tox.
Exactly. Yeah, I've already said, like, you know, how, you know, he wound me up back in the day, but then he got so up, you couldn't not respect the work ethic, man. You had to respect. He demanded your respect. It was the fucking Tox everywhere you fucking went. But I reckon we should organize a battle, like one of those Killer Keller battles, but between Tox and Tapas, yeah? And it's like the winner gets to fight for the name.
Could you imagine if the Arms House was linking things like that? Imagine when you started graph, yeah? You're like,
hilarious.
Oh, man, I'm going to be like... In any way linking one of these all city, multiple all city dons.
Yeah.
It takes years to do that shit. And then the
Arms
House brings Tapas together with Toxic to have a battle, bro. That'd be the jokest thing on earth, bro.
That would be fucking hilarious, man. But now, salute all them lot, man. Big up them lot. I had an eventful weekend as well, man. Big up my man, Cy Courage from Size Doesn't Matter. It was his birthday yesterday down in Brixton. But it didn't start till like 10 p.m. So I went via Croydon. I went to show some love to the Kronk's Don, aka Ollie Suds. I popped into
his shop. He was sitting there in his throne.
Yeah, yeah, the three-piece
suite. Kronk's Don in the middle of downtown Croydon. You
exactly.
Know what I mean?
Big up Riff Raffs. If you're ever in the area, go check it out. There's a shop there called Three-Piece Suite. I'll put the link down below for his Instagram. There we had DJs like all day because it was record store day and it was like the 1 year anniversary of his shop. So, you know, I popped in, say hello. There's some cool heads down there.
1 year anniversary. Decent. Yeah.
In it. And we've been asking him that whole year. I've been asking him, let's do an episode of the pod in the shop, motherfucker. And he keeps saying, yeah, next week. Yeah, like, we'll do it at some point. But yeah, sort it out, Ollie, man. Fix up, no man.
Is him who needs to sort it out, not us. We just need to say, look, we're coming next week. We're doing it.
Well, that's the just thing, yeah. I've done that a couple times and then, you know, shit has happened. You know what I mean? But we'll get it done. We'll get it done at some point. Big up all the heads that were there. Yeah, yeah. There was a young girl there from Tokyo DJing. I think her name's Infinity. She did a mad hip hop set. It was pretty dope. That's the only one I caught. And yeah, it was a nice little hangout. Some good people there. Big up Bob. He's a big fan of the podcast, man. I give him a shout out.
Big up Bob.
Yeah, man. And yeah, I mean, you know, it was pretty cool. Pretty lazy day today, though, I must say. Not done much.
Was that it? I thought it was going to be some sort of story.
Nah, then I went to my mate's birthday party. No, it wasn't a story. It was just a link.
Have you got any more cool stories?
I got mad stories, son. I'm just saying what happened last night, man. It was a really cool night. Yeah.
Sounds fantastic.
All right.
Big up King Sai.
No doubt.
Listen, I don't know if you follow much Latina news, yeah?
Yeah.
But I'm going to send you something right now.
Okay.
And the listeners, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
This is a video from the news in... I'm just looking at it now, but it's being sent to Maddie. The news in either Spain or Brazil, I can't remember, because in Spain... they're saying that this woman did this to her husband.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And it's from Brazil. They're saying she did it to her uncle.
Okay. But
they're saying husband. And in Portuguese, they're saying uncle, basically.
Shall I watch the video or do you want to explain what's happening?
Yeah. Watch the video.
Okay, let me watch it now.
The geezer is dead. To the bank. This is the most Latina thing I've ever seen in my whole fucking life. The keys is dead, yeah?
Nah.
Yeah. She's been arrested. She's been put in prison. Like, it's all completely real. It's on the main news, yeah? And she is in jail now. We've like, looked into it. It's fucking funny as dick what she said, yeah? So this related to her, yeah?
Listen,
this is like the proper film. This geezer is dead.
That film.
She's bringing him into the bank to get a loan. Yeah, she puts the pen in his hand. Look, she puts the pen in his hand. Look at his face.
Weekend at Bernie's. What is it called? The movie Weekend at Bernie's. She's like propping him up on a thing. Nah, that's
Jesus Christ, bro. Yeah, so in Brazil, like I said, they're saying it's uncle or something in Spanish. In Spanish, they're saying esposa. They're saying husband. And she's trying to take it. And they're saying, look, is everything okay? Is everything okay? And she's look, she nods his head. And she... yeah. So, but the people in the bank, they're like, no. They call the feds. The feds come. And they nick her because he's dead, yeah? And she says, oh, no. This is Brazil. No. He came into the bank alive. Like, I knew he was very sick, yeah, but he must have died, like, in the queue. Like, she tried to do, like, the whole plaque of this geezer being alive. Fucking hell, son. All they want is plata. Plata. Bring it. The geezer's dead, bruv.
That, man, I haven't seen anything like that, man. And she was being serious. Now, this looks like the dead guy looks like a dummy. He looks like he's a...
Bruv.
He's made out of rubber or something, man.
That's a dead person.
That's messed up, man.
That's a dead person.
And what, someone
she's related to him. She's taking him to the bank. She puts a pen in his hand.
Oh my
She's God. In prison now for this offense.
Jesus.
Fucking brilliant. I can't believe it.
So fucked up, man.
And the other bird.
Trying it.
Remember I told you about that bird who came around to my house? And I thought, listen, there's a Brazilian bird coming around to my house, man.
Yeah, 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 the one you were
Maybe
trying to set
get
me
on
up.
It with your Portuguese, because I told you you're fluent and all that shit.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, he's bang up for it. He's coming around. He's going to get smashed. He's going to love it.
I was up for it before you told me she was 70 years old and had a flabby...
Nearly 60.
Yeah, had a flabby fucking BBL or something.
This chick, yeah, her husband, her boyfriend has left her, yeah, because he's having too much sex. He can't keep up with the sex five, six, seven times a day. But he's told all his friends it's because he's spending too much money on Viagra. Mm. It's costing him a fortune, yeah, to constantly have a boner, yeah, to be with this bird. And that's why he left.
Wow.
Because the Nan's out situation is just so overwhelming.
Mate, I'm not surprised, man. Them Brazilians,
it's
they're
ridiculous.
Voracious. They're voracious and insatiable, man.
I think it was you telling me about that, about Brazilians.
Well,
and I remember thinking, it can't be. Well, this bird is fucking nearly 60, like 55, 57 or something like that.
Yeah.
That's her problem, is people, bro, men are leaving her.
It's like that.
Because spending money on Viagra and shit.
I'll tell you one thing. When I was in Brazil...
Leave that shit.
When I was in Brazil, I had a Brazilian girlfriend, and yeah, she was very insatiable, yeah? But it was manageable, yeah? But then when her birthday came, yeah, we all went like camping out in the, like up in the mountains, and there was like a festival thing happening there. And we had like a little campsite, but a little like hut thing that we would like cook in, and there was toilets and shit. And we all like had tents there. Yeah.
It sounds amazing.
It was wicked, man. And then there was it was her birthday. And mate, we woke up on her birthday in this tent. And she, and like, you know, obviously we got busy. And then she looked me in the face and she said, "Today's my birthday, Maddie. Maddie, today my birthday." I can't do the accent. And then she was like, "Whenever I want to have sex, you got to do it." Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. At any point during the day. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, cool. And I swear by the end of the day, we were at like seven times. I'm not even kidding. Stretched out for the whole day, seven times. Yeah. And it got to a point. She's like, yeah, like, come on, let's do it. Yeah. And I'm like, mate, I was like, you try and do it. It ain't going nowhere. I was like, it ain't going nowhere, bitch. I was like, if you can get it working, we'll do it. And lo and behold, she managed it. So you know what I mean?
Jesus, it's one of them Christ.
But yeah, they are insatiable. And I'm a bit worried.
Oh, of all the Latinas, the Brazil must be the worst.
Maybe. I mean, I wouldn't know because I don't know about the rest of them, but I can tell you.
No, it's not. It's not. I've spoken to all of them about this topic.
They know, yeah? Okay, sweet.
And they all say, no, Brazil is the worst.
Also, theme, I'm a little bit worried. I come across like a bit of a sleaze on the pod. I'm always talking about like my fucking exploits, as it were, man. And I really I really don't mean to, man. But they're interesting stories, I think, and provocative, as it were, you know what I mean? So please forgive me, man. I really don't mean to do that, man. I really don't get laid that much, man. All right? That's the reality of it.
That's true, actually. We've had the squirting girl.
Yeah, exactly.
We've had all of these Brazilian Latinas.
It's messed up. I got to get off that, man. But anyway. You know what else has been buzzing around in the fucking hip-hop news? Yeah, you can't avoid it.
Is
the whole... Yeah, Drake versus Kendrick versus J. Cole. And I tell you what, theme, I don't know if it's just me getting old or whatnot, but I really struggle to give a fuck about it, man, to care about it. I really don't give a shit, man.
I think it is something to do with getting old, you know, or maybe just having seen it a million times before, but...
I mean, no.
I haven't listened to any of the tracks.
Me neither. I've heard snippets because you can't avoid it on fucking social media, scrolling through, people posting little bars from it. Oh, did you hear this bar? Oh, man.
Rick Ross is the one that I heard. Rick Ross stepped in with his fucking...
With his bottle, yeah.
Maybach music shit.
And fucking... Like, I think I don't give a shit because I don't really listen to those artists that really, you know what I mean? So... I don't really give a fuck about what they have to say. And then also another part of it, and maybe it's been going on for longer than I want to accept, but beef, rap beefs now are just seem too manufactured. Yeah. And like,
well, it depends. It depends.
It depends, of course.
Geezer got pissed off with someone and said, right, I'm going to fucking body bag this geezer for no reason. I would love that. I would fucking, if there was no beef and someone like Jadakiss or someone like that.
Yeah.
Who was a head that could easily do that and make it in a, it would be a fucking brilliant track. Like lyrically, it'd be brilliant.
Yeah, we want good music out of it. Ultimately,
like
we want
this J. Cole guy. Apparently he
apologized.
Came out and apologized.
Yeah.
What's that about? What, he apologized for what he said, what he wrote?
No, he dissed Kendrick. And then when he was live on stage, like a couple of days later or something, I don't know the timeline, but then he just said, look, man, guys, I dissed Kendrick, but I didn't mean it. And I can't remember the exact words, but he was like, I was cringe now when I hear it, my diss, and I don't like it. He goes, look, man, I love you guys. I don't want to diss you guys, kind of thing. And he just kind of retracted it in a way, as it
what
were.
What kind of pussy shit is that?
I mean, that doesn't even bother me. I don't care if he doesn't feel
what
it.
What cool. Kind of pussy kind of shit is that?
That's definitely not. I'll bring Arms House to your mom's house. That's not Arms House.
Motherfuckers rolling in their grave.
Yo.
People took mad offense of that. Yeah, all of the Americans on Instagram.
Yeah, stupid, man.
This ain't hip-hop, son.
But did you even hear the
diss? Can't be apologizing for no beef, son. What the fuck, man? I can't listen to this shit anymore, man.
Yo, did you hear the diss that he even said to fucking Kendrick? It was a minor fucking diss anyway in the first place. You know what I'm saying? It just really wasn't worth that whole apology. But whatever. I don't give a shit. Let him apologize. I don't care because I don't care about the beef in the first place. You know? And I'll tell you another thing. I guess I'm specifically about Drake. Yeah? I don't trust actors that have turned rapper. Already, immediately, they're spurious to me. Yeah.
Turned rapper.
A rapper turned actor. Okay, cool. Whatever. I might, you know, depending on that.
Rapper turned actor. That's fair enough.
Well, whatever. That doesn't bother me as much. But an actor
turned rapper.
Someone who's an actor then decides, oh, I'm going to get in the music game now and be a rapper. Yeah, rubs me the wrong way, man. I just, like, I don't know if they're acting or not anymore. You know what I mean? They were immediately spurious.
Who are you talking about? Drake?
Yeah, Drake, because he was an actor, innit, as a kid. I think he was, like, in the Mickey Mouse Club and shit. He was a fucking pussy, man. And now he's rapping about all this shit. And I'm like, get the fuck out of my face, man. He's done some good songs.
He raps about money, really, doesn't he?
Yeah, basically. Basically.
But
he's got a couple of decent songs, though. I'm not, you know, in the club.
No, he's got loads of fucking decent songs. Yeah. Loads.
He's got a few. But should we listen to the latest one? It just dropped yesterday. Drake. It's called, what's it called?
I prefer the Rick Ross. I haven't actually, yeah, play it because I haven't heard this.
It's called Taylor Made Freestyle. I think he just dropped it on Instagram. I don't think it's like an official release. But you heard it though. You said you'd heard it. You know the concept.
Not the Drake one.
But you heard the concept. Should I play? I'll play it and then we'll chat about it. Let's go.
I'm going to get a Diet Coke and listen.
Right.
Illuminati. Does rise again. You can see it in my eyes again. Kendrick, we need ya. The West Coast savior. Ain't great in your name and some hip-hop history. If you deal with this viciously, you seem a little nervous about all the publicity. Fuck this Canadian light-skinned doc. We need to know the baby West Coast victory, man. Call him a bitch for me. Talk about him liking young girls, that's a gift for me. Heard it on the Budden podcast, it's gotta be true. They told me the spirit of Machiavelli is alive. And the nigga under 5'5", so it's gotta be you. I would beat the whole fucking game. It was me and Snoop Dogg. Had my fucking shirt off in the House of Blues. Can't you gotta fuck this nigga, girl? He gotta get abused. All that shit about burning tattoos, he is not amused. That's jail talk for real thugs, you gotta be you. Gotta leave this motherfucker broken and bruised before we really lose. You ask for the smoke.
Oh my, this is disgusting, this shit.
The people confused. Now you about to get this shit another week and fall back to home, girl, but running up is up. I would've refused.
Y'all are definitely involved, y'all getting it too. Soon as you get the courage to drop, I'm out on the loose. On the loose.
All right, that's enough of that.
That was very upsetting. But that was meant to be Tupac at the beginning.
So apparently he wrote the lyrics, but they used an AI voice generator to create, obviously, the Tupac verse at the beginning, then going into the Snoop Dogg verse, and then, obviously, Drake tags it off at the end.
Snoop's verse wasn't Snoop either.
No. And did you hear the Tupac one?
What the fuck was that? The rapping on those verses was, the way they were rapping was fucking dog shit.
I mean, I get the concept
of
it.
Who wrote that shit?
Drake, apparently. I mean, I'm sure he's got a team of writers, but that's been part of the disses for Drake, going, oh, you don't write your own shit. And Drake is coming out saying, no,
I do. Yeah, but to be fair, the way Tupac and Snoop were flowing was exactly how Drake would be doing it. And it
yeah, exactly.
Drake wrote it.
Exactly, yeah, it's true. But the concept of it, you hear the Tupac lyric, he's chatting to Kendrick Lamar, cussing Drake.
Yeah, you're the savior of the West. Yeah, and Snoop saying, listen, little cuz, you know, don't let us down now, kind of thing. Like, oh, shit. And Drake saying, you had nothing to do, it got it hand, the torch handed down to you. But, bro, the whole thing is whack, man. They sounded like Tupac. Fans would be going milly about that. Well, Tupac sounded fucking gash. Tupac's never sounded gash in his life. Sounded gash, that Tupac verse. I was like, what the fuck is this? This is ridiculous. And then the Snoop one, like, fucking hell. Bad as well, but the Tupac one was horrific.
But you know, Drake...
You never rap with that kind of cadence.
Nah, never, yeah.
Very off-putting. I'm very upset.
Yeah. But you know, Drake, obviously, he's been deep involved in battle rap, especially in Canada with King of the Dot. He's organized and through quite a few events now with them. And so he's up on his whole battle rapping thing. So I wouldn't be surprised if he reached out to a few of those heads and said, oh, give me some ammo to put in his thing.
That's what he's good at.
And maybe to help with the concept as well. I don't, again, I'm speculating here. I like the concept idea. Like, it's interesting. But again, also, when you're writing a battle rap, not battle rap, but like a song, a diss song, you're on a fine line between trying really hard because you want it to be a good diss song because you don't want to get cussed, but also not trying too much, because if you try too hard, then that's, you're dissing yourself a little bit, going, oh, I'm trying really hard to diss this guy, and it looks bad on you. You know that little kind of weird
like
balance?
I don't like the da-da-da-da-da-da-da sentence with the diss in it, and then da-da-da-da a bit, like four or five bars again until another slight diss.
Yeah.
It's not... You should absolutely body bag someone when you're doing that. And if they're that famous, fuck me, you've got like a million, billion, trillion, squillion things you could say.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? About them. Fucking none of them have done anything. None of them. What's his name? Ricky Ross.
Yeah. Why do you keep bringing him up, man? Fuck.
Called Drake a white boy because he stepped into the beef and he's like, yo, listen, white boy. It's like, straight away, I was like, yeah. At least he dissed him a little bit.
Anyway, man, let's move on, because I'm trying to give a fuck. I'm trying to care about it, but I think
it is age, though. It is age, because...
No, but like you said, if Jadakiss did it, dissing some random guy, I'd be like, hell yeah, let's check it out. I'm actually interested in
that's what Jada... Jadakiss needs to come out, and just do like a 32 bar
just
live like that with any instrument that he wants and just fucking... body bag Busta Rhymes. That's what it's to do. To save
him. Busta Rhymes. Why Busta Rhymes? He's the sweetest guy.
Every single bar is body bag. Because Busta Rhymes is going to come out and go fucking militant.
Yeah, but you can't diss Busta.
That kind of shit would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be cool as fuck, man. That would be
amazing.
Yo, okay. Let's go on to some like, you know, actual hip hop that I do give a fuck about. Yeah? It's the 30-year... anniversary of Illmatic, son. We might, you know, we have some young listeners maybe who maybe aren't even aware of Illmatic, man. And like, for me, it's one of the greatest albums, let alone hip-hop albums of all time. And that's saying something, man.
It's the greatest hip-hop album for me of all time.
Yeah.
Of all time.
What makes it the best for you?
And the way it's... For me, the way it sums up that kind of, it sums up and makes me remember of these kind of, that kind of culture, that kind of, the era, basically, of that time.
But it's still timeless.
It was in London or in New York.
That, the beauty of the album and what makes it so incredible is that you're right, 100%. It encapsulates that time, that 1994, completely, mid to early 90s hip hop. But you listen to it now, the lyrics, the beats, holds up to this day. That's what makes it an incredible album. There are some incredible albums made in that those times, but some of the beats sound a bit dated now.
So when it dropped, it didn't do very well.
You know why, though?
And the singles, all the singles completely flopped. Completely flopped.
I don't know about completely flopped. It definitely on an underground level, it was highly regarded.
They flopped. Like, one of them didn't even get on the Billboard at all.
Yeah. Sales-wise, they didn't do great.
Yeah.
But in the underground, people loved it. You know what I mean? But you know why?
Saying this is amazing.
It was because it took so long for it to come out. He wrote most of that shit when he was like 16, 17. But it came out when he was, 18, yeah. I think, 21. Yeah, it took three, four years. So there was like mad bootleg tapes of it going around, circling around. So
got sent it 8 months before it dropped.
So I think when it dropped, it lost that impact because all the people that mattered had already heard it. You know what I mean? They weren't like chatting about it as much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it went gold, and then it went platinum. But it went platinum by like 2001 or some shit.
Yeah, damn, it was a slow burn, but fucking hell.
Slow burn. But like you said, today you can listen to it. It got 5 mics. Do you remember? It got 5 mics.
5 mics in the source.
And then 2 years later, 2 years later, Reasonable Doubt, 1996, came out, and it got 4 mics.
We should explain, though, to people...
That was a massive thing.
To people who might not know, the Source magazine, which isn't really relevant anymore nowadays, but in those times, in the 90s, it was a hip-hop magazine that was... had a review section in it, and if you... And, like, you know, they'd give you, out of 5 mics, they'd review your album. And very rarely, there's, like, only a handful of albums got 5 mics. And Illmatic was one of them. And you said Reasonable Doubt by Jay-Z only got 4.
4 mics.
And people
Stillmatic got 5 mics as well.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. I was looking at it today thinking, no, it can't be the case.
I like Stillmatic, but yeah, not as much as Illmatic, though. But yeah.
Stillmatic is the third album, though.
Yeah, it was written, came out after Illmatic, and then Stillmatic, yes. Some people prefer it was written
as well.
Some people prefer it was written to Illmatic, man. But I'm like, nah.
Yeah, but a very small minority. Like,
and also, you got to say it about Illmatic. Yeah, the beats. Beats. You know, it was one of the first because usually up until that point, it was like, you know, Gangstar was DJ Premier and Guru. Premier made all the beats and Guru did all the things. Then there's Eric B and Rakim, you know what I mean? Or there was Eric Sermon and PMD, you know, and EPMD. Or you know, CL Smooth and Pete Rock, you know? So it was always like that. But then this album came about and it was like they got all the superstar hip-hop producers of that time and they formed like Voltron to make basically some of their best beats they've ever made for this kid.
That's what just makes it so amazing.
For this queer kid, and it was like a large
They're
professor.
All from New York. They're all fucking, that's... Oh.
Yeah, and like they were the elites of the elites. I think only one person, I think LG produced Life's a Bitch. That's the only person other than those lot. So it was Large Professor, Q-Tip, DJ Premier, and Pete Rock. They came together. Through Large Pro, I think Large Professor was a big... player, like he was close with Nas. They were from the same place, from Queensbridge. Obviously, Nas, his first appearance was on Main Source, Large Professor's album, his group. So he kind of made it happen, the Illmatic, you know, and it was a long process. And you can look it up online. There's interviews with all those people we've mentioned. They all talk about it.
But it's not just us saying it. It is considered one of the greatest... the greatest hip-hop album of all time. It's considered very like significant and culturally important across like music and culture as well.
Mate, his poetry,
Rolling Stones magazine's top 500 albums of all time.
Yeah,
it's in there. It's like recommended on albums that you should listen to before you should die. It's all on there.
Nas is one of them MCs where you could play that album to a poet professor in a university, and he will find joy in it somewhere. You could play it to some underground hip hop kid. He would find joy in it. You could play
You could lose every single hip hop thing on earth.
Yeah.
Every single song and beat, every single bit of graph, every single turntable, you could lose, eradicate all hip hop, but keep that album and then give it to people, and they'd be able to make hip hop again. They'd be able to rebuild
yeah,
the genre.
Maybe, yeah, it's true.
Again. Yeah. Just from that.
Yeah.
The cuts in it, the background chat in it, the way it is so New York at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it just makes me think about graph, and it just makes me think about everything. But those bits are not fair. That's why people prefer other albums like Stillmatic or whatever, because they were younger at the time. But I'm talking about like culturally, that album is fucking...
There's even like... Even in that year, fucking, you know, Protect Your Neck came out, fucking Tribe Called Quest album came out, the Biggie Smalls fucking, you know, Ready to Die album came out. Like so many classic albums came out, but there's still tunes on some of those albums. Sorry, I unpopular opinion here maybe, but there's some tunes from those albums, they've just been overplayed. I still like the song, but I'm like, man, it's not my go-to thing because I've just heard it too many fucking times, man. But there are certain tracks, you know, Illmatic, it still hasn't lost that. I still hear
that
song
magic. Yeah, it doesn't
and go,
lose
oh
it.
Shit, that's I forgot that was on that album. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Memory Lane.
Immediately
will come
go
on
outside or... wearing like brand new Tim's.
Yeah, exactly.
Massive Avex jackets to be like, yo, son.
Yo, theme, I've made a little game here, yeah? I want to test you and the listeners, people listening, you can play along. But I've got little snippets of the samples used in Illmatic, yeah? Some of the main samples. So I want to see if you can guess.
And I need to guess.
The song.
What Nas track?
Yes.
From
there was only nine tracks. And that's another thing about the album. There's only nine tracks on the album. One of them is like an intro song. So it's very concise. I think it's only 39 minutes long or something. So, you know, again, it's difficult to get bored of it. You know what I mean?
But what, you've clipped the bits that are the...
The main sample bit. Yeah, you should recognize them.
The significant part. You're like, oh, that's the bit.
Yes.
That's the sample.
All right, let's go. This one, this is a track called I Love Music by the Ahmad Jamal Trio. Big up Ahmad, yo.
Yalla, 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 yalla.
All right, let's see if you can guess which Illmatic track sampled this.
Whose world is this? Whose world is this?
It's yours. So what's the name of the track?
The World Is Yours.
No.
Who's
Oh yeah, it is. No, it's called The World Is Yours. Sorry, you were calling it something else earlier.
Sorry, because I was singing it.
I know. The World Is Yours. All right, this next one. This is Mind Rain by Joe Chambers. Let's go.
Can you skip it back again? Does it do it again?
No, it hasn't done it yet.
Hasn't done it?
Hasn't done it yet.
New York State of Mind.
There we go. Such an ill track. I mean, arguably, I'd say
New York State of Mind.
Primo beat. Arguably one of the greatest hip hop songs ever made, I think. New York State of Mind. Arguably. There's many arguments you can make. I know Theme, he would argue for, what was it, Hotline Bling by Drake? Ultimate hip hop tune ever made? Yeah, all right, sweet. Moving on, Lee Irwin, Thief of Baghdad. Now, which Illmatic tune was this, sampled this?
Mm-hmm. turn back.
Themes rapping the lyrics.
When I dress, it's never nothing less than guess.
Yes. Do you remember the name of the song, though? You have to rap the whole thing to remember. Represent, oh, represent.
Represent, represent. Represent, represent.
All right, this next one, he sampled our favorite nonce, Michael Jackson. Human Nature by Michael Jackson. Check it. Which tune sampled that? Produced by Large Professor.
I can't remember the names of the fucking tracks.
You actually sent me this one to play later.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was just thinking. That.
Yeah.
I can't, it's in this little book. I can't cheat. And look,
yeah, no, no, no. It ain't hard to tell. I excel and prevail. All right. One more I got.
Sensational.
This is Jimmy Gordon and his jazz and pops band, Walter L. All right. Check it out.
Jimmy Gordon, baby.
Hold it up. That bit.
That double bass.
Do you want to hear it again?
The double bass am I listening to?
The double bass is the bass line and the drums to a certain degree. It's coming up now like... It's just that looped up.
Yeah, I can recognize it.
Let's play it one more time.
I know all the tracks off. That's how much like my. I just, you know, I love it so much, and I just don't even know the names of the tracks.
Listen. One time for your mind, one time. So whatever. One. That one. All right, that was my little Illmatic game there, people.
I could listen to that tune there. That tune you were playing is nice.
I mean, again, man, like, obviously I'm into my sampling and making beats and stuff, and I've discovered so much good music from just discovering samples, and I've found some crap music as well, but some really amazing fucking shit. So that's why I always kind of encourage people.
That was nice jazz.
Yeah, that was Jimmy, what's his name? Jimmy Gordon and his jazz and pops band. Walter
Jimmy
L.
G.
And that was One Time for Your Mind.
Me encanta.
I tell you what, Theme, we've got a graph story someone sent in. I remember a few episodes ago, I asked people, give me, you know, something interesting that happened
graph
to you.
Stories. Send them in, son.
So, yeah, so there's that. And then we've also got a question to deal with. But let's listen to the graph story first. I want to hear your reaction to this because it's kind of mental, man. You ready?
Claro.
All right, big up the man who sent this one in, yeah.
Right, so me and three friends are hiding in some bushes outside a London yard. Where we're hiding, we're at the far bottom corner of a car park, right? The area we're in is the sort of area where there's like wine bars, Yates's, pubs, all that sort of thing, right? So this group of girls are obviously on a night out, come down into the car park. Most of them keep dog while one of their friends goes to the corner for a piss, right? We're all sort of laughing, sniggering, joking, because we're like 20 foot away from them and they don't know. They'd freak out if they knew that they were being watched. So we were just sort of laughing and joking. They finish what they're doing, start to make their way out of the car park, right? As they leave the car park, I notice this guy just emerges from the shadows in another corner of the car park. Just like emerges out of nowhere. And I'm watching him and I can see that he's making a beeline, like straight for the corner where this girl's just pissed, right? So I look around at my friends and I can see that none of them have noticed him. They're not taking any notice anymore. So I nudge my boy and I'm like, yo, check this guy. And he's like, it's just a guy, man. And I'm like, no, watch him, bruv, watch him. And as I'm saying that, the man reaches the puddle of piss, drops to his knees in front of the puddle of piss, puts his hands in the piss, and then proceeds to wash his face in the piss. I mean, like, scrub his face like soap and water with this girl's piss. Then
messed up.
He fucking puts his hands back in the piss, puts his hands back to his face and starts like licking his hands, sucking his fingers like he's been eating ribs, like he's sucking sauce off of his fingers.
Give me that pee-pee,
man. He does that for a couple of minutes and then he finishes, he stands up, finishes what he's doing, stands up and then just starts to leave the car park. And the maddest thing about it is, I didn't realise until
thinking
later,
a piss.
It's like, this wasn't an opportunist thing. Like, this was this guy's spot. This guy was waiting there exactly that reason.
Conspiracy. So,
yeah,
piss.
Man, that's it. That's basically the story of the Woodford piss licker.
The Woodford piss licker.
Mate.
That is nasty.
Mate, you see some mad shit when you're waiting to do some graph sometimes, but that is fucking brilliant.
Mate. The Woodford.
He's come in and he's fucking sloshed himself all over the fucking.
And like you said,
warm, still warm piss, even though the car park tarmac is cold and unforgiving and nasty. Still warm piss. He's come straight out around the corner. He's had his eye on her. Hello, girl. She looks like she's going for a quick slash. Follows her around the corner.
Yeah. It's plainly his spot. Like you said, he waits there. He knows because there's a Yates there, yeah. There's a Biggie there. He knows they're coming. And he can't do it with cold piss. He needs warm straight out. He needs straight out.
Sloshing in piss.
You know what I mean? Oh my God. Filth.
What did he say he was doing?
He's like washing his face and then he like licked his
washing finger. His face in piss. Yeah. And then he bops off like it's normal. Stinking of piss. Stinking. Imagine getting on the tube. 20 minutes later, like your shirt and all that, where all the piss residues drips onto your gums. But you don't care.
He loves that bit as well.
I've been lapping up piss and now everyone can smell it. You know what I mean? They know I'm the piss licker. Fuck.
It's nasty.
That is rank.
Absolutely disgusting.
Geezers are rank.
Yeah, men are disgusting, man. Rank. Jesus.
There's unacceptable levels of rank.
Very unacceptable, man. That was disgusting. Thank you for sharing that with us, man. All right, let's get in.
You're that desperate to smell piss, bro, in public.
I'm sure you can pay someone to
like
piss.
It's almost like akin to a murderer, like you're stalking birds, yeah?
Yeah.
And then just to swim in their piss. It's fucking hell, that is fucking, you're fucked in the head.
It's disgusting, man.
Going to the lengths where you do it in public, hoping no one sees, even if they are seeing, I'm still getting cut out, piss. You know what I mean? They love it.
Oh, mate, some people, man. I mean, I don't want to kink shame people yet, but that's fucking disgusting.
Fuck
man.
Kink shame, bruv. That, yeah. That doesn't even exist, bruv. That is butters.
But surely he could pay someone to piss on him, man. Like, give that girl a tenner. Go, oh, just let me lie down.
Yeah, but he's run out of dough, bruv. He's been addicted to it for ages, bruv. He's been doing it for so long. Now he's like, no, I've got to get the real thing.
That's it.
I've got to get the real piss. It's got to be fucking, you know what I mean? Julie from Ealing. She's fucking pissing in the bucket. £20.
Oh my God. Nasty, man.
Every week.
No, I'm done with that, man. I'm sorry. I don't want to think about that shit. Although I did go out with a girl once and she asked me to wee on her.
Do you want me to sell your piss? She didn't say, do you want to sell my piss?
No, she wanted me to wee on her, bruv. I didn't do it.
You want a pee-pee? You want a little pee-pee on the skin?
Well, I did do it, but in the shower. I was like, let's do it in the shower. It's disgusting. Anyway, let's go. We got a question now. We got a question sent in.
Let's go. Well, I did. I let her do it. Do you know what I mean? I didn't want to let her down. Do you know what I mean? End of the day. Get
I didn't let her do it. I did it to her, man.
She wanted you to piss on her.
Yeah.
Not
the other way around. I don't want people to piss on me.
Asked you to piss on her.
Yeah.
What? Where? In the face? Tell me it was in the face.
No, it wasn't in the face.
You got it? Where did you tell me you had to piss
I'm not
on
going
face?
Into any more details.
What today. Do you mean?
I'm not going into any more details. Let's move on.
Some bird asked you to piss in her face.
No, not in her face.
What?
Yeah. I told her no, but then she got a bit adamant and we were in the shower together and I was like, all right. So I pissed on the bitch, man. What can I do?
The way you go all like night. You know what I'm saying? I pissed on that bitch. You know what I mean?
It's like, there's no skin off my nose, really. I was like, we're in the shower. I'm like, make sure you scrub up properly afterwards.
Jesus, Jones. You know what I'm saying?
It's messed up. But yo, we got a question sent in. Sorry, this is disgusting. Again, I don't want to talk about that shit, man.
It's bloody interesting. Bloody interesting.
All right, this question was sent in by somebody. Please, people, send in your questions, man. Either email or on the DMs, a little voice note on the Instagram DMs, or you can send them in to...
Yeah, because they're fucking brilliant.
Yeah, man. Nice one, guys. And they're obviously your graffiti critique and all that stuff for us to critique. Keep sending them in. All right, this is question sent in. Let's go.
How did writers back in the day do such good pieces and such good work with such crap paint? Like, what was the secret to it?
There we go. How did writers back in the day, because obviously this was before the days of loop paint and Beltons and even before all that shit, right, man. Just shitty car paint. What, car plans? What are some of the brands?
It depends how far back in the day you go, because some people were going to, like, fucking Damn to rack paint.
No, we're talking pre all that. So no graph paint. This is shit car paint. Like, what am I talking about? Car plan, no, synonyms.
But it wasn't, yeah, it wasn't graph paint. What was that paint people used to wrap? Began with a B. Can't believe I can't remember it.
What, the Dutch one?
Not obviously. Now I can only think of fucking Beltons, but began with a B. Sure, it began
Spaarvaar.
With a B.
Spaarvaar paint. No. From
Spaarvaar was decent.
Yeah. Sometimes. I got a couple cans of Spaarvaar.
Not yellow Spaarvaar.
But anyway, there was also an Italian paint early on called True Colors. Do you remember that one? True Colors paint. I remember getting my hands on a couple of tins of that.
I can't. Big tin. I can't believe I can't remember what I'm fucking that brand of paint. What I'm saying is, some people, even though it was back in the day, some people had plots to rack, like, you know, the best paint.
Yeah, the best
type. The best of kind of paint. Yeah. And then those kind of guys that I would think about in my head for dude that who like. Who were killing it? They put like a lot of effort into those pieces before going to paint it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like all the color, they would rack all the colors, get all like the colors, make sure they're all going to be pinging off and all of that kind of shit. Do a sketch.
And certain colors
they'd probably do sketches.
Certain colors couldn't blend with each other, and certain colors wouldn't even go on the train. Some paint, like especially if you're painting trains, I'm talking in the '80s or whatever. Certain paint would get eaten up by the train. You couldn't use it on the train. Some people, I even heard on the trains, in them old trains, they would emulsion the train first. They'd emulsion the letters and then use their shitty paint because that's the only way they could use those colors on those trains. I remember hearing that from a few people. So that's one technique I guess they would use.
But for that, there's that. So what I'm saying is there's that, like knowing where how to do graph, knowing how to, like, you know, the sketch has to be amazing, the piece is amazing, the colors are all like lined out, you know what I mean, it's all like properly prepared. But then also just the skill, like there were skills, but the graphers were
exactly,
they weren't just, it wasn't like, it wasn't accepted if you were a bit shit,
and it also
wasn't acceptable theme, and you would just get completely dogged and all that. You'd have to get a lot better. The graph was way more kind of shit, I can't go out with people and get burnt next to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, for sure.
Completely different kind of
style.
Graph.
There was a lot more importance placed on style, that's for sure, back in those days. And there still is to this day to a certain degree, but just not as much, you know, like you're saying. But also, I think...
Like, people don't really care that. Loads of writers don't really care that much about that anymore.
But technique-wise, yeah. Again, this is all secondhand knowledge I've acquired through other people. And just from observing, you know, old pictures, like... Certain colors they would use to blend in other colors. And because the nozzles, they didn't have the nozzles that we have today, you know, so it's easy. You can have a fat cap. It helps with the blending. You know what I mean? And shit like that. They didn't really have access to all that shit back then. So that's why the schemes, that's why the scheme. Yeah, but they'd get like the Mr. Muscle nozzle, put it on a can of a thingy and that would be a fat cap. You know what I mean? They had techniques to do
it. Put a pin in it.
Put a pin in it and all that shit. But I'm saying theme, I think a lot of the schemes and stuff back in those days, and you know, the big borders and shit that people would do, it was done because it looked cool, but also because of the paint they were using and the techniques they were doing, it lended itself to doing stuff like that rather than like, and also to not have it dripping, because the paint came out fast in some of those tins, man. It didn't come out all nice and even like it does now.
Yeah, and it was so way different. It was leady and watery.
Some of them. Yeah, and so you had to move your hand a lot quicker. That's why if you look at those old school pieces, you see a lot of schemes where you can see like they've moved the hand really quick and they might not have stopped at the right spot. They might go over slightly because you had to move your hand that fast for it not to drip. You know what I mean? And then... You know,
but there's also pieces which are completely banging, you know what I mean? Yeah. With quite technical schemes, quite like small ones in there, with like detailed ones, you know what I mean?
But not that much detail, though.
The skill was just a lot.
Like, if you look at a Mode 2 character back then, yeah, like the cover of Spray Can Art, you know that character of the guy holding the spray can with the cap backwards? Yeah. Mm. If you look at the details in the face, it's very subtle. It's like a few lines here and there. It's because if you couldn't go in with those types of tins. So Mode 2 used those techniques to his advantage and he just hinted at an eyebrow and it just looked so fucking cool. You know what I mean? Yeah. But like it was done out of necessity, you know? Whereas if you look at a Mode 2 like piece he did the other day, he gets mad intricate and even though he still uses similar techniques, his hand still moves in the same way or whatnot. But he's, you know, obviously he has access to all the different nozzles and all the different colors now. So you can see how his style has changed. And I think that's a good litmus of like the different techniques from back then mm-hmm. to now, you know. And obviously he progressed and got better as well as he grew. But I think that's a good litmus test, I think, man.
I just love that fucking style. Like, imagine being, you know, that good at graph where you're using all that kind of shit and it's coming out that good. You know what I mean? Like Casby pieces and like ridiculous pieces.
Yo.
On fucking trains using shit paint like cast pieces, all those kind of pieces like that where you could drop them today and they'd be amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Doing that shit paint. For me, that the answer to the question really is like skill was like a lot more important.
100%.
You were just never, even if you're doing quite a lot of graph, and if you would whack, you would just whack. That was it. There wasn't like, oh, he's bad at it, and then he was just whack.
Yeah, that's straight up.
So yeah, only like skill the really and technique. Actual geezers who had control of like their fucking pen and nozzle.
And that reminds me, man, of a little rant I want to fucking do, yeah? Because back then in them days, they didn't have fucking graffiti tutorial videos to show you how to fucking do a fucking letter and shit. Yeah, they were looking at old fucking, photos if they managed to see some photos or from these books, like I said, Spray Can Art or whatever, and then just trying to copy it. And through trial and error, either developing new techniques or managing to work out what they fucking did.
Making their own style, yeah, of graph.
You know what I mean? So that's how they were doing it back then. But now you scroll through Instagram, yeah? Obviously, because we follow on the Arms House Instagram, we follow a lot of writers. So obviously our feed is always filled with graffiti-related stuff. And every now and again, I'll come across some Instagram video, yeah? You won't see...
There used to be a lot more of it. That's what I'm saying. I take the piss out of them. Yo. Now I can't find them.
It's always some German or Spanish guy, yeah? It's never an English fucking guy. Yeah. And then you could just see their hand pop in and go, how to do... it'll just be letters. How to do a letter S. And then he'll draw an S, a one line.
Yeah, I'm gonna
gather then he goes, fatten up the line. Then he'll fatten up the line. Then he goes, now fill it in. And you fill it in. He goes, now outline. And it's like...
Oh, like that?
Yeah, and then he outlines
it. I've seen ones when there's like a grid and it's like the letter R. And he does R in a couple of different stars.
In different stars. Yeah, I've seen them.
Which one do you think is the best? And I'm always on there going, cut!
Yeah. Now, I always, whatever always goes through my head when I see those graffiti tutorial videos, I'm always like, man, there's only one way to get better, man. And it's not through watching Instagram, man. It's go and do it and do it and do it and do it and do it. Become obsessed with it and do it all over again, all the time, over and over and over. And then you'll get better. That's the only fucking way. There's no shortcut, man. You can watch 20 of those tutorials and you're not going to get any better. All right. Just get out there and fucking do it, man.
But you will get worse. If you don't do it, you'll get worse.
Yeah.
And you need to do graph to a level where you can stop doing it for a bit and then drop down to only a certain level.
Mm.
where you're not going to toy, but then you can still, after like two or three pieces or dubs, you'll be like, right, but you're like, oh, yeah,
yeah.
You need to get to that level before you can ever kind of think of allowing.
And the thing is,
you have to get better. That piece I did, remember we went down Acton, you said, oh, when did you do that piece? I was like, that fucking piece is gash.
Yeah.
And I much preferred the dub that I did with the CU. It was like fucking 7 days after that. But that piece was just basically getting back to can control, because I haven't fucking hadn't used a can for like fucking 2 months, 3 months or something.
Yeah.
It still goes. Whoa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a funny
the
one.
The dub
for me,
is nothing, but I much prefer it. You know what I mean?
For me, like can control now, I've painted enough pieces where I've got it. It's like riding a bike now. Like I'll never forget to do the can control. But what I do lose if I don't paint for a long time is like which colors to use, which colors go best with each other, which ones to fade into what. You know what I mean? Like, because you can get into a little groove when you're painting a lot. You're like, yeah, I know what I'm doing now, and you're confident.
But I'll forget certain things I was doing. Like, oh yeah, I remember doing these off the bits of my A's, or I remember doing these type of schemes, and then going to do a piece after not doing one for ages and being like, oh yeah, what? Like, just fade the colors in, and then what do I do?
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas if I'm doing graph all the time, especially when it's actual graph, because then you'd like, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's much better for your learning curve. It goes like that.
You just got to look.
If you're doing real graph.
Because
then when you're doing a normal piece at illegal, it's like, you go, oh shit, motherfuckers have got time and they can step back and look at their shit. Like, exactly. This is actually, you know what I mean, completely different.
Straight
but
up.
It makes your learning curve go right up, because you're pulling off a decent piece, track side or wherever.
Yeah.
Is quite different.
And also, like, and this relates also to other art things and even music and stuff like that. Like, I know a lot of people who make music, but they don't play it for no one. They just make tunes for themselves, which is fine, cool, no problem with that. But I don't see them progressing as much unless someone hears, because you know how you create something and it's only you who've seen it, but once you show it to someone and you're like kind of now trying to look at your piece through their eyes, even if it's subconsciously, you're doing it like, oh no, he doesn't like this bit. Oh, he might like this bit. I don't know if you start thinking it in those terms. Yeah. And I think it helps you progress. And that's one thing with graph, especially if you're doing it in the street, people are going to fucking see it. That's the whole fucking point of it, you know? And then you start seeing your own graph and going, oh, I don't like that bit. I missed a bit of shadow there. And next time I can't miss that bit of shadow. You know what I mean? Or I can't fuck up the outline like I did this time, or I didn't do a one time. I missed the highlights. Oh, I should have done a shine on that bit, not over that bit. You know what I mean? Like, and then if you keep at it, keep doing it, you'll naturally just get better. And we all start as toys, man. This is an obvious statement. I'm not going to, like, you know, we all start as toys. Yeah. We all did. But mate, when I was 14, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, going into 18, 19, I always had a pen in my hand and I was always sketching or tagging or writing something. And if I was outside, I always had a pen on me. I always had paint on me. You know what I mean? Those years were so fucking, like, you see that the
absorbing the, graph, just absorbing.
And just obsessed with it. I was obsessed with it. Yeah. And now I still love it. And of course, you know what I mean? You know, it's part of my life and all these things. But like that time there, I was obsessed. I had nothing else going on. That was it for me, you know? And you can't not get better. You know what I'm saying? And and there's no shortcuts, man. You just got to do that and love doing it, man. And you'll get better. So that's my little tip to you motherfuckers out there.
It's interesting what you said, that if you've got to a level now where graph, where you, even if you didn't do graph for a long time, you wouldn't think, oh shit, what was the outline or anything like that. You'd just be like, oh,
well, maybe not
away.
The outline, but I'm talking the skills, like how to fade, how not to do drips. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where the shadow's supposed to go, the proportion of the letters, like that. I'll never lose.
That
yeah, that's what but I'm
I mean,
saying.
Like the actual putting, that's just the graph of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like this goes here, this goes there. What was the outline? I'm always like, what the fuck was I doing? What did I used to do? What did I used to do? I can't remember. That's right.
Yeah, that bit. Line. Yeah, you can lose that. I wasn't talking about that. I was talking more about the techniques and how to paint. I think it's riding a bike. It's like, I don't think I'll ever forget that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, no matter how much I don't paint. Although you see some writers who are bad back in the day, and then they come out of retirement and you see the piece they do and you're like, bruv.
And you're like, what the fuck? You're so upset.
It's like, yeah, it's been 20 years since they've touched the can, and like all the paint has changed and all the nozzles are different, like everything is different now, and then they just like pull off the wackiest pieces now. But more power to them though.
Big
them
up. It was just like youth and rebellion.
I'm not trying to dishearten
inside the pieces of those days.
But some of the pieces they did when they were kids. Actually, even Scheme said this, man, when we were chatting to him. He said, because I was saying to him how it's a young man's sport, not a young man's sport, but it was created by kids. And he said, not only created by kids, it was mastered by kids, which is a difference. Mm. It was 13 to 16 year olds who were doing the masterful best graph at that time. You know what I mean? Because now it's changed. Now
it's so good.
Now you got 30, 40 year olds doing it, doing incredible pieces. But he goes, you weren't doing that when you were 15 years old, man. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a big difference.
Yeah, man.
Big difference.
All right, talking about this stuff, let's do one graffiti critique because we've gone over time now. Let's do a graph critique, yeah? And then
graph critique.
We'll call it a night.
I'm just thinking about pressing my finger down on a track side near Gunnersbury Station, and I couldn't put the fucking nozzle down, man. It was those long Simonies or Simonins. Oh, I used to call them Simonies.
Yeah, Simonies, yeah.
And it would batter your hand because it had a female cap on it.
Yeah.
It's like one of those, by then it was kind of rare to have that.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember thinking, oh, fucking hell. And if you were painting on a winter, that would batter your hand with chrome paint, which would then be liquid. And then that would make it freezing when you're painting outside. So you got to the stage, right, you can't hold it down. And you remember painting like that, like pushing your thumb down on cans, sometimes trying to do the filling and shit.
With the thumb. Yeah, with the thumb press. Yeah, man. Mad. But yo. Yeah,
now you can just go...
Theme, I sent you a sketch, man. Someone sent in this sketch. So
Send me the broad club.
Check it out. Someone did, I'll describe it. Someone has done an amber and theme outline, sketched on a piece of paper with a black pen, gray kind of highlights on one side and yellow kind of bits on the other side. No shadow.
What do you think about the letters, Amber? What do you think about the letters? Tell the listeners about the letters.
Are absolute dog shit, but a good effort. Yeah. This is actually by Plant, who sent in a few things. He's only been writing a year and a bit. I'm not sure where he's from or anything. I don't think he's from London. But, you know, he's a young lad. He's hungry.
These were difficult.
He wrote the famous quote.
Exactly. That's why he's getting a lot of love.
Yeah.
But he's put a bit of yellow around the outline, which makes it look like he's implying that we smash yellow BRs, bro.
It looks like the letters. It looks like it's been washing its face in piss. That's what the letters look
like.
Holy
shit. But can I just congratulate the B on the amber?
Oh, mate.
A P and an O. Yeah. I've never seen a B look that much like a P and an O. In my life.
Exactly.
The theme is a lot better than the amber.
100%. 100%.
It's because he knows, bruv. He knows. I'll bet do the theme well, you know what I mean?
Well, the M's. I think M is his best letter here. I think the M in the amber and the
big
theme.
Big up the plant, though, you know. Big up the plant. The what? The M.
The M, I think. I mean, you know, again, I'm clutching at straws here. But for me, that's... I don't like the E's. I don't like the way he's done his E's. They're kind of like a throw-up style, but... And the M as well, but... I'm sorry, Plant, it's whack, brother, man. I'm sorry, man, but it's all love. Keep at it.
Let's critique the theme and the see you.
Oh yeah, let's do that.
I just sent it to you because he went down daytime.
Let's do
and
that.
And then I can turn it landscape. Let me have a quick friend compare. Let's have a quick friend compare.
Here we go. Theme and I see you down that little spot that we were talking about earlier.
First of all, yeah, if you don't know about a see you, yeah, then yeah. Like, where were you? Do you know what I mean?
Salute a scene.
Where were you, bruv?
CGO. Big up the CGO, man.
CGO soldiers, man. They did a lot of trains back in the day. They did a lot of damage, man.
Polio.
West London.
Jose.
Salute, Jose, man.
Bruv. They battered it for a while.
There
man.
Was a little bit
with
of
nice
cross-
pieces.
Was there a little bit of crossover with them and FLS a little bit, or did they not like each other? I can't remember if they were like mates or if they painted together. I think they did a little bit, maybe not.
They might have done a little bit. They might have had their issues as well.
Yeah, maybe. I just remember
all,
them.
Like, good. They're fine, you know what I mean?
All right, okay, yeah.
I can't remember, to be honest.
Yeah, me neither. All right, so here we go. I see you. They're both chrome, black outline, little shadow, pink one time. simple letters, you know what I mean? A CU with the big fat bouncy dub theme with his, you know, standard letters. With the small
outline
H.
Outline number two.
Oh, is it?
CU. Yeah, because you know he always changes his outline. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He's got the square one, or the round one. Outline number one, outline number two. But so, it doesn't matter because he absolutely batters you. Do you know what I mean? He battered it.
And he's a.
But I always say the piss out of him a bit.
He's a nice bloke as well. Really cool dude.
He's a top geezer.
Top geezer. Hopefully, we'll get him. And on
he
the
battered
pod.
It. You know, he got battered it. Then we got Nick for Graf hard.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Do you want me to?
Pink little outline, pink little outline, chrome dub, bruv. Arms house to your mum's house, done by Talks Idiot. Which other podcast, yeah, is getting vouched for like this?
Isn't it the Talks?
We don't need to scream about street culture. Listen, man, like Talks and Bass.
Isn't it?
You know what I mean? We could retire from Grafner. We're basically, basically at the same level as Sub. You have to understand. The Arms House is reaching out to the correct people, and that's why we're blessed. Bless up all of you, man. All of the people on the Arms House.
Salute everybody out there. This one's for you. I'll bring Arms House to your mom's house. Yeah, boy. You want me to go in on the theme dub? I'll go in on it if you want me to, man.
Go in on everything, bro.
No, I'm just kidding, man.
Go in on it.
This is.
I know what you're going. You don't like A's like that because they're not real A's.
No, I love a lowercase a, man. And rarely I see a lowercase h from you. I love the bounce on the letters. Obviously, the proportions, all that is all there, looking lovely and jubbly. I love it, like, you know, classic dub style.
I don't think I've ever done a small h.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I like it, though. It suits it. I think it goes well. But the a theme, I'm going to call you out on the a. Not because it's a lowercase a, but that bar going across the top. Yeah, so it's basically a D, but it's got the bar on the top, so it makes it into a lowercase a. Obviously, fine. Yeah,
but I like them like this. It reminds me of back in the day.
Yeah, but...
I know what you're going to say.
I think the negative space between the round bit of the A and the line at the top, there's too much of a gap there. Again, I'm nitpicking here, theme. This is nitpicking, so this isn't a major thing. But for me personally, that's my eye gets drawn to that bit. Because if you look at the negative space on the E, because the E is ultimately a lowercase a turned upside down. You know, obviously it's slightly different, but if you turn that upside down and look at the E, you know what I mean? Like, okay, maybe not so good when it's upside down now. I'll look at it. But I'm just saying, like, the negative space, it should be that amount of space. You know what I mean? In my opinion. But and the ICU, he's consistent with his negative space throughout the thing. I think the E has too big of a forehead, man.
He's got a bit of a big spam.
He's got a massive forehead.
Bit of a spamage.
The E, like, he looks like he dreams in fucking IMAX, man. That E.
This will be taken out. This will be gone now by Kors.
Oh, yeah. Kors would have dropped at least. He would have done five pieces already. Yeah, he would have done five pieces on that.
Gone over himself.
No, but props to you guys. And again, this was what? How long did it? What, 20 minutes? You were down there maybe before I got there? I don't know. Maybe a bit longer. Yeah, you guys were taking your time chatting shit. And you know, it's more of an excuse to get together, right? By the sounds of it.
Yeah, I don't really mind those bits of negative graph, negative space. When it's not obviously not too big. But it kind of makes it look more like old. I don't know.
Not fair enough.
He's like that, man. Yeah,
maybe I tell you what would have helped. And again, these are little tiny little details. You see that bar going across the A on your thing? On the left side, if it had a bit going down, so it went whoop, whoop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would have closed that negative space slightly. It would have looked nicely.
Gash.
It would have sit next to the E nicely. I don't know. I think maybe
just
that would
a little bit coming soon. Aye, coming soon.
You know what I mean? But anyway.
Fucking criticizing dubs.
That's all I'm gonna. Well, you're the one who asked me to do it, man.
We are now criticizing our own dubs.
Our legal dubs as well, not just dubs.
Oh yeah, Tox. Yeah, Tox is like yellow BR. Never painted one in my life. Never. You know how much graph he's done?
Yeah.
How much graph he's done again and again and again and been nicked and come and done it again and again and been nicked and done it again and again. Actually, you know, lords of graph.
Yeah, but I don't believe him. I reckon he has done a BR. I reckon he just doesn't remember. I reckon he has.
Never done a BR in his life. I reckon he remembers everything about graph.
I'm going to search for one. Never done. If I find one, I'm going to post it here of Tox on a BR. I bet you I find one, man.
I bet you don't.
All right, okay.
I bet you don't.
All right. Listen, actually, talking about Tox.
Talking of Tox, we've got a little giveaway.
We've got a giveaway
for all
here.
Of the people out there, man. Listen, look at this. Look at this. This is a tube map. If you want to see more art by the artist, take the tube.
Yes.
Tox 24 DDS Reach. What's that on the bottom right corner? Is that like a stamp or some shit? Or just a TFL?
Yeah, that's the actually, it's the name of the company that produced these prints by Tox. And it's a signed print.
This is
Tox 24 DDS. You can win this. This can be yours. I will send it to one of the people who are not only subscribed to our YouTube, but if you leave a comment under this episode, episode 75, you are in the runnings to win this signed tube map created by Tox. Respect to them for putting out artwork as well. I love that they're putting out artwork on their own terms and selling it, making some money, getting something.
Man, a man's got managers and ting now, isn't it? Like, you know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
Publishers and ting.
Exactly. So
for putting their work in.
So Tox gave me that last week, or well, on Thursday, Friday, whenever we saw him. So now I'm offering it to one of you guys here. So listeners, leave a comment and subscribe to the YouTube. Leave a comment on this episode and you can be in the runnings to win this tube
answer
map.
The question, yeah? Answer the question. Which place sells better oranges for making orange, freshly squeezed orange juice at home? Is it Marks and Spencer?
No.
Or Tesco?
You know what, Theme? I don't want to promote
it's
those.
Marks and Spencer.
I don't want
it's
to promote those two businesses, to be honest.
Theme. I need to get oranges like I get oranges in Spain, man.
Yeah, exactly. There it's, we go.
I don't know what the fucking deal is with tomatoes and oranges here.
Everybody, go to your local grocery store. If you're lucky enough to have a grocery store near your house.
Let me show you my local. My local grocery store is on the A40, bruv.
Yeah.
His fruit is just black. It's all just covered in soot.
Okay, allow that guy, but I'm talking in general to people out there. Allow Marks and Spencer's right, and allow
it needs
fucking
to be
Tesco's,
grown right. Somewhere where there's, you know, some.
I tell you what, Theme, when I go
sun.
When my mum's cooking, yeah, and she asked me to buy tomatoes, if once I dared to buy tomatoes from Tesco and brought them around, my mum slapped me around the fucking face. She said, "What's this bullshit?
What?
Never go to the Arabic shop. Go to the Arabic shop and buy the tomatoes there and you'll get proper ones." You know what I mean?
That's where Andrea goes for everything now. She doesn't go to supermarkets.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
Goes
man.
To all
I'm
of the
you.
Arab shops and gets all the fruit and veg outside from there.
And I've been boycotting.
It's slightly closer to Spain, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
Tomatoes and oranges and shit like that with no.
Bro,
it's fucking ridiculous.
Don't get me started on the Brazilian tomatoes and oranges.
Don't get me started on the El Sabor de España.
Hell.
Por favor.
That shit is
fucking amazing.
Level.
The fucking tomatoes and oranges. Bro, you can have a salad of just cheese and tomato.
Exactly.
And what did we
literally,
have?
Literally, that's it. Cheese and
olive
tomato.
Oil.
Yeah, and balsamic.
And I think salt.
A little bit of
no
salt.
No balsamic.
A little bit of salt. Oh, man.
Not in Spain, balsamic, though. They don't do. But olive oil, garlic. Just cut garlic on top. You pick up the cheese with the fucking olive oil and the garlic.
Bro, I do that
the
all
tomato,
the time.
This tomato is like a fruit. Like an actual, you yeah. Fucking hell. Just chizzing all over everyone's face.
Bro, I make tomato mozzarella salads all the fucking time. But I do love my balsamic.
Yeah, but you make it here.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Doesn't taste like the tomato tastes of nada.
And they don't taste of nothing. But that's why I don't shop nada. For fucking in those fucking shitty places that you mentioned. All right. Party people, we are out of here, man. We're going to go out to another classic.
Leave a comment about why your mum's vag is so massive.
Yeah.
Arms House 75. Johnny, come alive. You
big
know
up,
what I'm saying?
Big up, big up, big up, big up, big up. All right, we're going to go out to It Ain't Hard to Tell. Nas, Illmatic.
Arms House batters everything.
Every Wednesday, new episode, son.
Who else is giving away Tox DDS stuff? Who else is absolutely battering the airways with Nas? Best place for Nas! You can play this on YouTube, bruv! This is a picture of my son, me and my son. It ain't hard to tell. I excel, then possess.
tell. My mic check is life or death, breathing a sniper's breath. I exhale the yellow smoke of Buddha through righteous steps, deep like the shining. Sparkle like a diamond, sneaker Uzi on the Allen, and my army jacket lining hit the earth like a comet invasion. Nazis like the Afrocentric Asian, half man, half amazing. Cause in my physical, I can't express through song. Delete stress like Motrin, then extend strong. I drink my wet with Medusa, give us shotguns in hell. From the split that I lived in hell, it ain't hard to tell.
Do you think I need to go and paint that yellow BR, bruv?